dance companies across Atlanta have left behind traditional performance venues and used the city as their stage. This is site-specific dance, where the space is as important as the performers within it. Some examples are Glow ATL. Their shows are almost like processionals, where audience members must follow the dancers down blocks of the city. Or there was T. Lang's recent piece at Fort McPherson, which delved into love lost and refound. Arts ATL contributor Cynthia Bond Perry recently wrote about the history of site-specific dance in Atlanta, specifically about the woman who laid the foundation for Atlanta's strong dance community.
Dorothy Alexander was the founder of what is now Atlanta Ballet, and she was very much a pioneer in starting a dance company in a city where there really wasn't much dance going on at all. And this was true for lots of cities in the United States at the time. She started a dance art group in 1929, and that's actually 4 years before George Balanchine came to the United States and opened the School of American Ballet. And that organization grew. They worked very, very hard to build a supportive community, to maintain the highest possible artistic standard that they could.
She experienced hardship, tragedy early in her life, and she had hip problems as a child.
Yes, she did, and in fact, she had osteomyelitis, which is a bacterial infection of the bone. I assume it's less common because now we have penicillin. At the time, it was treated by surgery. They had to go in and scrape the infected tissue off the bone, and generally the treatment was to leave that wound open for a period of time and keep the patient immobilized in a cast. So Dorothy, at the age of 5 or 6, had to spend a very, very long time in bed, immobilized, and she said she was in a hip cast. So she was unable to move for, you know, we don't know. It said it was a year. Maybe it seemed like a year for someone that age, but it would have been an awfully long time. And on top of that, her older sister, Mina, 4 years older, studied dance. And so Mina would practice her dancing lessons, maybe with her friends, and Dorothy had to just sit and watch.
Their mother committed suicide when Dorothy was only 11, their father died when she was 16. And yet she had the maturity not only to take on dance as seriously as she did, but to view this holistic attitude, this collaborative, multifaceted performance art, if you will. Air of All the Ages is a choreographic feat, and it shows how marvelous a teacher Dorothy Alexander was. It featured hundreds of dancers. Now, through your research, how are you able to capture what that event was like?
Yes, I was very lucky because the Atlanta Constitution sent a reviewer who was a wonderful writer. And there's no byline, so I don't know if it was a he or a she, but that person wrote a beautifully descriptive review. Obviously, he or she was very inspired by what had taken place that day and, you know, described the whole scene and, in, you know, from everything, how the light came through the trees, how the light changed.
This was outdoor performance.
It was outdoors. It took place in Atlanta Memorial Park. It runs between Northside Drive and Howell Mill Road, just on the other side of Northside Drive from the Bobby Jones Golf Course.
So it had been the site of a horrific civil war battle.
Yes.
But she wanted to repurpose it, if you will, not to dwell on the tragedy, but create something for the future.
Absolutely. And to me, that was exciting about it. You know, I had been researching it, so I had this wonderfully written review. I had found the actual program from the performance, which is in the Stuart A. Rose Manuscript Archives and Rare Book Collection at Emory University. And I had a description of a little girl's solo that took place. Dorothy had written a very detailed description for a dance publication, which is sort of a national dance publication, which was written to an audience of largely dance educators and dancers. So I had all of these things to go on. Plus, it was the Georgia Bicentennial Celebration. So the newspapers did cover it well enough that I could get different perspectives. You know, they previewed it early in the year. They wrote about Heirs of All the Ages in April and again in May when it took place. They wrote about it again in November when they wrapped up the bicentennial. And of course, November was the time when they planted most of the honorary trees, trees to honor great Georgians. So how did she kind of change the way people thought about that particular place? She created a larger context. She brought forward all of these people from 200 years of history in the state who had achieved great things in whatever their field was, if they were great statesmen or historians or literary figures or poets or musicians or military leaders. A whole span of achievements by Georgians that these children should know about and should be proud of. So in my thinking, it kind of diminished the sense of perhaps defeat, that if that was still lingering at all in people's association with that place, and introduced a larger context so that these children understood that they had a heritage to be proud of.
And she gathered these children largely from her work in the Atlanta public schools she taught.
Yes. Starting in 1927, just after she had spent her first summer studying at the University of Georgia with Lucille Marsh, she began a dance enrichment program in the Atlanta schools. I mean, she already had a degree in education. She had already been teaching in the schools, and she began to develop a program to teach dance to children, not necessarily to train them to be dancers, but just as a way of enriching the academic program they had, because she really felt like every child had the right to have a healthy, strong body and posture that reflected good feeling and confidence and health. And she had gotten so much from dance as a child growing up, and she wanted to share that. And she really felt every child deserved that opportunity. So she had the education. She had Lucille Marsh as a resource. Lucille and her sister Agnes had written a book on dance education, which had been published just a few years earlier. And this was kind of innovative, that dance wasn't just about teaching exercise. It wasn't just about training, technical training. It was also about educating the whole person, helping the individual to develop mentally, socially, and morally.
Which is what the arts do.
Yes.
We could use Dorothy now.
Yes, because the idea was, if we're going to live in a democracy, we need to nurture the development of individuals as thinking, creating, contributing citizens.
In your article about Dorothy Alexander, you mention Heirs of All the Ages is something of a precursor to site-specific dance. Now, you're hosting a panel tonight.
Yes.
What are some of the topics you'll address?
Well, we are going to segue into the idea of site-specific dance, which was kind of how this whole project began. It really, when Laura Relier of Arts ATL, my editor, asked me about moderating a panel on site-specific dance, and that it would have to do with the Emory Stuart A. Rose Library, I said, oh, I've been doing all of this research there. And so immediately my mind went to Heirs of All the Ages. I mean, of the whole span of Dorothy Alexander's life and work, this was the piece that was most like site-specific dance. I would not call it site-specific dance because site-specific dance or site dance or site-specific performance or temporary public art, whatever you want to call it, hadn't really been, the term hadn't come up yet, and it didn't really emerge until a few decades later when a whole other generation was redefining what dance can be, how to put a dance together, where a dance can happen. So it's a very different set of aesthetic principles behind the idea of site-specific dance. But we saw Heirs of All the Ages as kind of a precedent, more in keeping with Isadora Duncan, Ruth St. Denis, you know, and the whole idea of looking at notions of nature and beauty through a connection between the body and the earth and the environment. So we have invited four panelists who have been in Atlanta for different amounts of time, who have all been involved in creating site dance. The goal of the panel is to really discuss the history of this form in Atlanta. One of the reasons that we want to do that is it's not very well documented. And there are a lot of young artists coming into Atlanta, and they're wanting to get involved, and they're wanting to create their own site-specific works. And there is a feeling that they should know the history of site-specific dance in this particular place.
How does site-specific dance enhance a city's cultural landscape?
Well, a site-specific dance is a work that takes a particular place as inspiration and as the setting for its performance. And so when an artist chooses a place in a particular city, there's no other place like that really anywhere else. When they choose to create a work of art that is integral to that space, if it's the architecture or the natural environment, often they draw from the history of that place. They look at the culture of that place, how people normally use that place, how people think about that place. And the work, hopefully, might change that a little bit or challenge that or bring out the beauty in that particular place.
And bring more people to that place.
Bring more people to that place.